Social media world changers, I'm having a party in Austin on May 4th and you're invited. My third annual social media content creation conference, Social Success, is happening on May 4th, 2024 in beautiful Austin, Texas. I've gathered some of the best social media and entrepreneurial leaders in the country, including Brian Martin, Brett Shuford, Dr. Trevor Buffoni, Dan Peterson, Megan Colwell, Jennifer Bassman, Davina Maharaj, and yours truly to speak at this fun, inspiring event that will help you level up your social media presence, your content creation skills, and your leadership mindset. Your Austin weekend will start on Friday, May 3rd with an optional mini branding photo shoot and a happy hour meet and greet. Then get ready for the big day because on Saturday, May 4th, you're going to spend 10 hours with your fellow social media world changers, learning all of the latest social media strategies to skyrocket your brand. On Saturday, you'll also get your headshot snapped by our amazing event photographer, and you'll get a fun swag bag to take home. We'll end with some group videos and an after party that you definitely don't want to miss. Space is limited, so grab your ticket today. Head to smallbizsocialsociety.com for details and tickets. And here's a money-saving tip for you. Reach out to one of the speakers for a special discount code to save $50 off your ticket. This is the best social media event in 2024 for mission-driven entrepreneurs using social media to make a positive impact on the world. I can't wait to meet you in person in Austin on May 4th at Social Success. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. I'm your hostess, Brittany Crossan, and I'm here to help you build a brand, make an impact, and have some fun on social media. I'm the owner of Fun Love Media, a social media and podcasting agency in Houston, Texas. This show is for social media creators, social media managers, and small business owners that want to stand out on social media and beyond. Please know that this show could include some grown-up language here or there. Let's get started. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast. I'm your hostess, Brittany Cross, and welcome back to another episode. Whether you're listening or you're watching on YouTube, I'm so glad that you're here. And I am so excited for you to hear this episode. I was so over the moon about having this gentleman on the show because I am a huge fan. All right. Cameron Hughes, he's a professional crowd igniter. Now, if you never heard of that before, you are going to be really, really happy to know what it is now because it's going to brighten your day every single time you see him. He has one mission, and that's energizing others to get up and live every experience to the fullest. Cameron has ignited crowds in just, you know, a few places like, oh, the US Open, the Olympics, NBA, NFL, NHL, you know, just a few little spots. And what he does is he like gets up from the crowd, like he's like planted in the crowd in the seats watching the sporting event. And then he gets up to a song that's playing, like it's planned out, right? But he gets up and he surprises everybody around him. He starts dancing. Then he starts handing out t-shirts. He's got like, you know, layers of t-shirts on. So he'll take one off and he'll throw it this way in the crowd. He'll take another one off. He'll throw it this way in the crowd. I mean, it's like one of the best things ever. He's been doing this for like 25, 30 years, but I recently discovered him in 2023 on social media, of course, because I find all the best people on social media. And I saw a video and it showed this thing. And I started to like, it showed like him doing this where he gets up in the crowd and starts dancing and getting everybody pumped up. Right. And I was like, wait a minute. And so I started looking at more of his videos and I'm like, oh, this is his job. Like, this is not just a random video of some random dude dancing in the aisles at like a hockey game. This is like a legit thing that he's doing. And I first of all was like, I'm jealous. I mean, come on. Dream job. Yes, please. But second of all, I was like, I have got to know him because anybody who is willing to put themselves out there and entertain a crowd, bring smiles to people's faces and really increase the energy level for like, you know, thousands of people at a time and not worried about looking a little silly in the process is my kind of people. Obviously. So he's done, I mean, we're going to talk about all the things. He's done a lot of things. He's also a motivational speaker. He's done a TED talk. I mean, Cameron Hughes is all over the place and he's bringing smiles and joy and inspiration to people all over the world. All over the world. I am so, so excited for you to hear my interview coming up next with the one and only Cameron Hughes. Welcome to the Social Sunshine Podcast, Cameron Hughes. Hi.
Hi. This is fun. I'm already having fun.
You're already having fun.
Yeah. It's an energy, right? Isn't it an energy when you just, you see someone, you connect with them, like even if we're not in the same room.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my thought for today.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a good thought. That's how I feel about you. I've told you before, whenever we talked before, that I just like, I saw what you did. I discovered you on social media because I'm not at a lot of sporting events. And I thought, what in the hell is this? I mean, it was amazing to me. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. I couldn't believe, because like you, I like
to. What the hell is this?
But it was in a good way, because like you, I like to bring joy to people by entertaining them in one way or another. And I like to just let loose and be silly and just go for it. Right. And to see someone else doing that, but in this setting where you're amongst thousands of people at a sporting event was mind blowing to me. So I'm so excited to have you here. Like incredibly, incredibly excited.
Well, I kind of want to write that down. What the hell is this? Is pretty funny. Think of something. You just said something really important. You said, like, when you saw it, I'm at a sporting event, and then you said you like to do things that are crazy. I believe, like, there's that moment in our lives where we just say, you know what, I'm tired of worrying about what everyone thinks. So then you do it, right? So you film something funny or you have a moment, but then there's the moment where you're like, should I post this?
Yeah.
Right? So it's not just like, oh, wow, look at the silly, goofy thing I did. My friends are going to be embarrassed for me, which is a good sign if they're going to be embarrassed. You should definitely post it if that's good. But let me ask you, like, when was the moment where you did your funny thing and you were like, okay, well, I didn't just record this. I'm actually going to post this. Like, what went through your mind when that happened?
I just honestly was kind of like, with the treadmill dancing, it was and when the pandemic started, and I was just like, fuck it. I just like it. But that's not always been the case. That was a special moment in time for all of us. But no, it's true. I've had plenty of moments, even after years of doing what I do. I've had plenty of moments where I'm like, oh, you know, should I really post that? Especially I can get critical of like looks and stuff. Like, cause for me, I don't know how you feel about it, but like for me, a lot of times my sillier stuff, I might be like exercise, like on exercise equipment. So I don't look so hot. And I can hesitate with that. Do you ever criticize yourself like that in your, when you see your videos of what you've done?
Yeah. Hello, I'm human. I think it's more like, you know, the white shirts don't look as good on camera, and I'm, you know, they just don't. T-shirts add 20 pounds, but it's more like, I mean, I don't care anymore in that sense, like in the big picture, and people want to make fun of, you know, whatever it is. But I think that if I'm going to post my own video, I'm more like in tune with what I think looks good and the lighting, and I don't overthink it. Like, I'm not going to, you know, take, you know, hours to try to get the perfect shot, because then you lose it. You lose all reason behind even doing it. But sure, there's things that I'm like, sometimes I'll watch and I'll be like, ooh, or like a video of me speaking where I wasn't in the healthiest of spaces. And I was like, ooh, come on. Like, you shouldn't be wearing, you know, gray on stage. But
right.
If what you're doing resonates with the audience, then I think that's what matters, right?
Right. No, it is what matters. So take us back. Let's rewind and let everybody know what it is, in your words, describe what it is that you do when you go to these events and when it started.
Yeah. So I was at a hockey game in my hometown of Ottawa, Canada, and I was pretty lost in my life at the time, just asked to leave university, kind of like Frank the Tank from Old School. And a friend of mine said, let's go to the game. We go to the game. I thought that was going to be the night where I was going to get the energy from the crowd and I was going to feel better. And sure enough, no one was cheering at the game. It was just, I was like actually mad. I can remember, I don't remember a lot of the events I've done, but I remember the feeling that I had. Like, why aren't we cheering? Why aren't we having fun? Right. And this is way before the entertainment departments, the jumbotrons, and all the bells and whistles. And so I got up in the third period because I was like, I've got to do something. You know, that moment where you're like, someone, you know, you're at a conference, you're an event, you're at a wedding, all the different types of live spaces we go to. And you're like, somebody's got to do something moment. Right. And I was sober and I just decided to go for it. And that moment changed my life. But really, like, I got up, I started to dance, the crowd loved it. But it's the next moment that really gave me a career, right? Because we all have ideas. You can watch hours and hours of videos of people doing something silly in their seat at a sporting event. But I decided at the next whistle to go to the aisle and dance up and down the aisle. And that's why I'm here. That's why I've performed at 1600 events, because I took the idea and I went to the next level. It wasn't premeditated. It was just like, I've got to keep going. I've got to own this. Like, how do I want this story to go? Here
So
we
was
are.
the person or people with you at that particular moment, was this like, oh, there goes Cameron, that's some shit he'd do? Or was this like shocking, like, dude, what are you doing?
Well, he's actually my shyest friend. He's a lovely, lovely guy. And there were his dad's tickets. They were in the middle of the arena. And when I do a lot of my speaking events, I talk about how, like, you know, I get back, I sit back down, and Elliot's long gone, and we haven't talked in 25 years, you know. I joke about it, you know, that moment where, you know, your friends are embarrassed. But I really believe, like, sometimes when your friends are embarrassed, it means it's working. And I'm not even kidding. Like, you know, I said that earlier on. It's just like, because they love it, right? They're like, oh yeah, I wish I could do that, right? And he has been so supportive. Like, last year he came to one of my events. He drove with his wife 3 hours to come, and he came to my anniversary event because he was so proud of me for, you know, like I said, not just that idea the first time, it's what we do with it, right?
That's cool. Yeah, I've had moments where I think people may have been embarrassed by me as well. So you're right. I think that's a good sign. So just to give everybody an idea of kind of the timeline. So you're doing this for a while. You've now since turned this into this really cool, unique career. But like, how did that happen? Did you at some point were you like, I could get paid for this, or I could build a brand, or did you think like that, or did it just kind of like happen,
It just kind of happened. I mean, it was funny. Like, my first meeting with the Ottawa Senators was so re weird. They're like, we want you to come back. And I'm like, what do you want me to do? They're like, we want you to dance and get the crowd going. I'm like, okay. And then they paid me in tickets and jerseys and sticks. The next year, they paid me $250. And then I started to show up at other teams. And then I remember saying a certain number that I should get. And the people laughed at me, like, you're never going to get paid that. And I had this belief in me that I was adding value. And I think that that's such an important thing that I've learned over my life. It's not just like, look at me, la da da, ha ha. It's like, well, what value are you actually creating for people? Right. And at the end of the day, I started to ask teams better questions over the years of like, hey, do you want to hire some nutty guy who's throws t-shirts and he's a good, bad dancer? It's like, no. Do you have a special event coming up that you need more energy? Do you have a fan appreciation night? Do you have a quiet Tuesday night where you need some spark and energy? Or the flip side of that is, do you have a night that you're already as big that you want to take bigger, right? So I had to ask as I've grown my career, better questions in terms of aligning with what the teams or companies need, as opposed to just, hey, look at my video, I'm crazy. You know?
What has been like the thing for you that was maybe a thing or two, whatever, that's surprising about the fact that you're, I mean, because we'll paint a picture, like you're sitting there in the audience, like you're there just attending to watch whatever game is happening. And then you have a moment where you get up and start jamming out and dancing and running around and throwing t-shirts and stuff, right? So in case anybody's never seen and is like living under a rock and they haven't seen a video of you doing that. But like, have there been surprising or extra crazy moments, like something that happened or didn't go the way you planned or something like that?
I mean, so many moments. There's just so many moments, from falling down the stairs, oops, to and ending up dancing with, you know, at the US Open with Novak Djokovic after a match, to an incredible moment with a young boy with Down syndrome at a rugby match, to to the intimacy of, like, I have big moments that pop that get a lot of airplay, but there's the connection afterwards that you don't see, like the smaller moments, whether it's behind the scenes with that little kid who you gave a t-shirt to and you run into them, or sitting in a crowd and having conversations with fans and connecting in more intimate ways. Is, I think that's why I still do it. You know, the sizzle is why I still get hired, because people see it and want that. But right. I think that intimate connection is what keeps me going and what keeps me fueled, because what a great feeling. You know, it's both sides. I connect with the kid or the grandpa or the grandma or whoever it is, and vice versa. And it feels incredible to have that connection. And I've learned in my career to, when the right moment is, to spend the extra 10 or 15 seconds in that moment. And I think it's a really valuable thing that I've learned. Like, there's sometimes you just don't have the time. And when you do make the time, it's pretty powerful what can happen.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I can tell by some of the stuff I've seen of yours, like some of the special moments, like we get a little glimpse of it. And I can only imagine how much cooler it is, even the things that we don't see. So you said something that actually made me think of something a second ago. I want to ask you, you said your buddy, like, come into an event to celebrate you recently. Do you have that happen often? Like, do you have people, you know, in real life, like when they can, they'll come when they know you're going to be at an event?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I try to tell people I'm coming, but I also like the surprise factor. So, but I mean, there's nothing greater than having a couple friends in the crowd. I did our game recently in New York with the Islanders, and two of my closest friends were at the game, and a total, like, the team thought the tickets were for me to sit and start from, but they were actually for my friends. So I was like, okay. So I asked them to move over a seat. So I started sitting beside them.
So nice.
That's like the best video of, like, almost like he's looking straight up at me. I love it when your friends come. I mean, it just makes, at least, you know, a few people in the crowd. And then by the end of the game, you know, the whole stadium,
you know, everybody knows you.
And it's so funny. On that note, it is pretty funny to walk into a stadium, nobody knows who you are, and by the end of the night, everyone wants a $5 t-shirt, right?
Right, exactly. Okay, so what about, like, after? So we kind of painted the picture. I mean, I didn't do it justice, but of what you're doing, and you're getting up and you're doing your good bad dancing and you're pumping up the crowd and making everybody smile. And then after, is it like, I mean, how do you feel? Because I know as a performer, I've done, like, theater and stuff in front of live audiences, not as big of an audience as you. And I don't know, I feel like I have a bit of a high after. It's like this kind of cool feeling. Do you have that too?
Yeah, I mean, it's an unbelievable vibe rush when you connect on the right level. I mean, not every event you're going to feel that, but
yeah.
Well, the last few I've done, it's just been electric. Just this vibe and energy that you carry, because, like I said, and I'll say it again and again and again, it's the connection you have with the fans. Like, you're connecting on a macro level, on a micro level, you know? And then you go to the restaurant or bar in the arena, which I did when I went to the Islanders game, and you're sitting there with your friends and the head of entertainment, and you're recounting funny moments that happened, and you're taking a moment to celebrate what just happened. And I moved to Hollywood, like, years and years ago to give it a shot. And a friend of mine gave me some of the best advice I've ever, ever had. He said, celebrate your wins. You know, like, don't necessarily, like, doesn't mean you've got the deal or you're going to get the show or you're going to get the gig, whatever it is, but celebrate the wins. So it's like, after that game, you celebrate that moment with the people that made it happen. I can't always do it, but when you do it, it really does feel extra special, you know, like, laughing about it, and then fans will come up and say hi and want a t-shirt, and you give them the last sweaty t-shirt and everyone's happy. That did happen, by the way.
They're like, screw it, I'll take it. Yeah. Okay, you brought up Hollywood, so I wanted to ask you about that. So connect the dots there. Like, what were you wanting to do as far as that goes? Because I feel like it's, I mean, you are performing, but maybe you didn't think it was going to be this way. So what was the Hollywood thing about?
Yeah, I was hosting a TV show in Canada for a couple of years, and I got the bug of wanting to be on camera and host, not really act, but host. So I had a day, a moment, a vision of, if I don't go now, I'll never go. So I got in my, a friend of mine lent me a minivan, and I drove down to Hollywood, not knowing what I was going to do, but I brought my disco ball with me, which made it like home. Stayed on many couches for the first little while till I figured out if I'm going to stay. And I ended up staying and auditioning for TV shows and hosting shows and doing pilots. And eventually a friend of mine wrote me an email and a call that just said, stop trying to do everything. You're really good at this. Like, what do you love doing? What are you best at? And there was a lot of explicitives in it. And it was just like, stop. You know what I mean? You're trying to produce, you're trying to host, you're trying to do this. Like, you're really good with crowds, right? Focus, Cam, you know, focus. And I did. And it was 2008, 2009, around then. And I ended up doing, like, next thing I know, I'm doing the NHL, the NBA, the Olympics, the US Open tennis. Like, all these things happened because I just stopped trying to do it all. And then you become known for something, and then you more doors open, yeah. Right?
Right. Yeah. I've heard that a lot. I've heard that a lot from, like, people that are at the highest levels of whatever they're doing, that it's like, you know, you got to calm down, get your focus first, and then you can start to broaden your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. So this is kind of might be a weird question, but, like, what is it like? I mean, now I guess it's, you know, it's getting to be, people are getting so familiar with you, I'm sure, and you know a lot of people in that in those worlds and all that stuff. But, like, at first, like, pitching yourself or, like, mentioning that, like, what is that like? Like, hey, yo, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna dance like a crazy person and get people happy. You know, is that cool? Like, what is that like? Did anybody ever go, what? Or did they, like, respond pretty well and understand the value of what you're doing?
I think that, you know, at first for friends and family, they were like, what are you talking about? Like, and then team executives saw, like, would see me at other teams and maybe a highlight reel on ESPN or they heard about it or something happened in the early days before social media was, like, a big thing. You know, I started with, there was no social media. There was nothing. I have 14 seconds of me performing in 2 years. That's it. You know what I mean? That's it. And, so you had to show up in a way to show people what you had, you know, like, I had VHS copies of my performance that I would mail to teams. And, you know, the answer was crickets and nobody responded. So I would just go and show up and show people what I could do. And I think that that was an advantage of me having, you know, whatever you want to call it, the nerve to show up. And I think that that's a great message that I try to share with young people. It's like figure out a unique way to get in the door, you know, like, whatever that might be. Don't just hope that someone's going to answer your resume or open your mail, you know? Right. So, yeah, I mean, it was challenging, but I kept going. I just believed in it. I believed that people wanted to have more fun at sporting events because I was there. And if that's cocky, well, I'll call it confidence. You know, like, that's just,
it's facts.
By the way, I had a funny moment. It just reminded me of a funny moment where you never know who's in the audience, right? Who's seen you, who hasn't seen you. You have no idea. But I was at the Islanders game last Saturday. And as I'm literally starting, the camera comes to me and a guy one over goes, oh my God, it's the crazy dancing guy. He already knew who I was. And I was like, is this good or bad? Uh-oh. You know what I mean?
He's like waiting, like, what's he going to do?
But I think that's why I'm not introduced. That's why they don't go, oh, like the I don't know, the Cleveland Cavaliers don't go, Cameron Hughes will be here Friday night. They just let it happen. Yeah. And the few times that they have tried to promote me, it just doesn't work the same way. Even at my corporate speaking, like, my speaking career would be probably way better off if they said, oh, Cameron Hughes will be the guest speaker Saturday. Instead, I come and interrupt the room and surprise everyone and, you know, add that same spark of energy and oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. And that's my business model though, right? Surprise, right. And cheer.
Surprise. Yeah. Okay. So speaking of you speaking and interrupting and that being the way you start your thing, let's talk about your TED Talk. So I've watched it. I'm sure plenty of people watching and listening have now watched it because it's been quite some months since it's been out. But I want to hear that story. That is so exciting as somebody that aspires to speak at that level. And I know probably lots of other people listening as well. So how did that come about? Was it even something that you had wanted to do, or what happened?
Yeah, it was the craziest thing. September 8th of 2023, I got an email from someone in Prague, Czech Republic, saying, "Hey, I saw your video." Going back to that idea of like these videos that we post live on. And I always try to explain to like sports marketing executives, like, you hire me for a night, but that video, that those moments that we capture together, those live on. Those are extensions of your brand. So even though you're paying me X amount, like, and you think that's a lot, like the numbers prove that it's not a lot. I'll show you. So this video of me in Vegas dancing with Billy Idol song that's been seen by, I think, 400 plus million. This guy sees it on TikTok and he goes, "I want your energy at my event, and I want you to surprise everyone at my TED talk." And I'm reading the email and I'm thinking to myself, what? Like, sounds cool. But I also had tons of events going on. I had a hold on that weekend and somehow it worked. And next thing I know, I am obsessed. And it's not in my brain. I'm not the most focused guy. I became obsessed with delivering the best talk of my life. And I would be in like hotels in Minnesota doing a Wild game that night, and in the hotel conference room alone, practicing in front of an empty room because the GM knew me and was like, "Yeah, go do that. It'll be really good." And I'd be in the gym and people would walk in. I'd be looking in the mirror and people were like, what are you doing?"
Practice.
But, it was incredible. And it led to so many other opportunities. There was the right woman was in the audience. I danced with her. And she's the CMO of a large bank in the Czech Republic. And they brought me over recently for 5 weeks to do commercials, speaking events, promotions. Like, you never know. So these things that everyone's like, "Well, how do you monetize all the numbers, the views, and this?" I'm like, "Well, there's no direct correlation, but there's just keeps happening in ways you never expect."
I really liked your TED talk a lot, and I thought it was I mean I'm not a connoisseur on them, but I've watched quite a few, and I've never watched one like that. And I already being somebody that connected with you and what you're doing, felt the same way about the talk. And I liked what you said about what your mom had said. When you were younger, whenever you were trying to get on the team, and then like you didn't make the team, would you tell that story? Do you mind telling that story? Because I think that's really
Yeah,
it's
sure.
inspiring and also really relatable for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I was in high school trying to make the basketball team year after year, and I was pretty tall, and I thought I had the chops, and I didn't make it. And then came home from school, and my mom said, "Maybe there's another way you can contribute to the team. Basically, like, you don't have to be on the team, you know?" And I didn't get it at the time. I was a young little snotty kid, And my mom was battling breast cancer and she eventually passed away, and a month after she passed away, I went to my high school team's away game and just decided like halfway through the game, these guys are down. They need someone to cheer them on. And I talk about it in my talks about how, like, in that moment, you don't have a choice. You got to cheer on your friends. Like get out of your own way, like open your heart a bit more, be a little vulnerable. And I did, I started to cheer them on, and it changed my life. I had this spark of like, I'm going to go for it. You know what I mean? I am going to just be me. And my mom lit that up in me and I ran with it and became student leader and et cetera, et cetera.
You were like you were
Found a way to contribute to the team ultimately, right?
Well, I mean, and there's the shiny parts. So I guess the star player or whatever you want to call it, like that seems like such a shiny, desirable thing. And that's cool. Of course, we need that too. But it's such a cool way that she put it and that you put it to everybody in your talk, about
Yeah,
that. 'Cause I
so
think, yeah, go ahead.
I performed at the NBA Finals in Cleveland in 2015 to 2018 during the magical LeBron run. And after Cleveland won the championships, I ended up on a float at the parade with me and Machine Gun Kelly, which is a weird story in itself. But I remember calling my high school basketball coach who cut me, and I said, "Hey, coach, you cut the only one to ever make it to the NBA and be part of a championship."
I made it. I love that. That's funny. You're on a float with Machine Gun Kelly at a parade.
Oh yeah, so he tried to get on the float and I didn't know who he was. This is 2016. And he was known, but he wasn't like where he is now. And he tries to jump on and I pushed him down. He's like, "Dude, I'm the guy." I'm like, "Oh, sorry." And I help him up.
It's like touching the
saw him a
clock.
year later on the sidelines and he was blowing up. And I look at him, he looks at me, he's like, yeah.
The parade
I think though,
project.
that's one of the things that like is so hard, especially for young people, is to realize that this is going to lead to that this is going to lead to this, right?
So hard.
It's so hard. And there's so there's, I said to someone the other day, be impatiently patient. And they're looking at me like, what the hell are you talking about? Like impatiently patient. Like you got to keep things moving. You got to keep things going, but then you got to also like back off a bit. Right.
Yeah, that's a
And it's
really good way
hard
to put
for
it.
us, like creative types, right? It's so hard.
Right. Also, and connected to that is something that I've discovered personally is that when a thing you did doesn't pan out the way you thought, and then we end up thinking, well, that was all for nothing. What did I do all that for? But it's not. It may sound a little cheesy, sunshine and rainbows, but it's true. Like there's things that you had experienced that if you hadn't done that, you wouldn't have that skill and that, and then leads you to where you are. And so it's all valuable, but it's hard to see, especially when it's like a big like dream or career goal, and then like it didn't quite happen the way we wanted or the way we planned. And we can feel like I've wasted the last, 8 years on trying this career or whatever. And then later you realize, no, you didn't. You are utilizing all of those experiences and skills, going forward.
Yeah, and I think we all overthink that, especially creative entrepreneurial types that, like I can't believe like even like you go to a cocktail party, oh, why'd you go? And you get that one number that might change your life. And then 2 weeks later you get the call, right?
Right.
And it's like we put so much expectation on ourselves. And I'm glad I wasn't totally patient, but I wish I had just trusted maybe a bit more of the waiting game, if that makes sense. Like not been like, when you don't hear from the team, you're like, you reach out, you're like, hey, just like breathe, But at the same time, I performed at the Olympics because I sent one more email. Like the elegant persistence is the balance between being patient and annoying and follow up. And you know what I mean? It's a, it's a, it's a, it's a weird art. It's a weird strategy. It's a weird everything. Don't you find like,
It is weird. Elegant persistence. That's nice. We need to quote that. Zach editing the audio. Elegant persistence. I love that. Okay, before we're done, we have to talk a little bit about social media specifically, because as I mentioned, that's how I found you. I'm sure that's how a lot of people have found you. Because I mean, your videos have just had millions and millions and millions and millions of views, but in different ways. Like you're sharing them, yes, but other people are sharing them. So
That's the wacky part.
And like big name people with big followings, right? So okay, take me to the little bit more beginning of that process of sharing stuff, because you said the first couple of years you really didn't have much video footage at all of what you were doing. When did you start to go, okay, I need to try to have video of this and share it?
Oh, I mean, I think kind of when it was just easier to get the footage from phones, actually. Because I used to get it from the teams, and teams would send me like literally, I have boxes of discs, and it would take them. They would have to mail them to me. You know what I mean? So I think when we had phones, I would have stage manager or friends or people that I knew that are at the event. I'd be like, capture it. And I have a video that I was afraid of TikTok. I was just like, I can't do another thing, right? I just can't do it. And so at the rodeo in Las Vegas, which already is a weird story, me doing a rodeo in Las Vegas. When they
I love
called
it.
me, Brittany, when they called me, I was like, are you sure? I've been on a horse. So I do the rodeo, and unbeknownst to me, they had planted a plant on me. The young girl who does social media is in the crowd with her phone and she's filming me, and I have no idea that she's part of the rodeo. So I'm playing to her, and not the whole time, but like her shot of me is like a fan's perspective. It wasn't the video board, overproduced. So they send it to me, and before I go to bed in Vegas that night, I was pretty jacked up on adrenaline doing my first rodeo.
It was the first one. It's
I
fine. I
I
love it.
posted it on TikTok. Like I posted a few videos on TikTok, but I was never that engaged. By the end of that week, it had like 1.5 million views
Wow.
because A, nobody had seen a large man dance like that in a rodeo. And B, the angle, the vision, the way it was shot, like it was just magical. And that made me go, wait a minute, like, what are you doing? Like, people want to see this because it's fun, it's energizing, it's silly. It's like, and so that was a big sort of like, let's go.
So share, if you don't mind, share a couple of the standout social media related stories, like of when they've your videos have been shared by some really big names or big followings. I mean, I feel like that's gonna be really exciting.
It was pretty funny. I was in Prague, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, and I woke up and I whatever, open the curtains and go to the bathroom and I check my phone. It says, you're gonna have a really good day. It was one of the texts. The first thing I read, I'm like, I hope so.
Neat.
And then I open my phone again and there's like, because the time difference, right? Just like text after text after text. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And Mel Robbins had reposted my video on her Instagram, and she, like people should, put my name in the t tagged me.
Right.
And I had thousands of new followers from, woke up that morning,
Right.
9 hours later. It had ended up, I think it was at 5 million views on hers, 5 million just on hers. And
Wow.
so there's moments like that where you're like, you get this. And then last week, week or two ago, Viola Davis posted the video of me with the young boy Malcolm, my boy from the Canada.
There he is. Yeah.
He has Down syndrome, and he got up and danced with me at a game. And that video in the last week and a half is close to 100 million views for ver on various platforms, not mine. It has 15 million on my. If you're ever in a bad mood, go to my Facebook fan page and read the comments. Just read the comments.
Really?
The joy that, yeah, it's the joy that he brings to people. That's what it's about, right? Like, and I say this because I show this video at all my talks. I'm like, it's never been about me. It's about being that spark for other people to celebrate in the moment, to get up, to have a little more life to you. And Malcolm was the greatest example of my career. That was like, it's almost like I was working for that moment. But on the last thing I'll say is, you know how everyone writes on social media, they've been waiting their whole life for this moment?
Yeah, yeah.
He actually was. You know
Right. Oh.
what I mean? It's
Yeah.
the one time I can say that young boy, 6 years ago, 18 with Down syndrome, was waiting for me to get out of the way and for him to dance. And it was,
Yeah.
powerful.
Incredibly powerful. And it's like it's all just even more amplified having all of having it on social media now too. And I mean, compared to like in the your earlier days of doing this. And I have a perspective on social media that a lot of people don't, which is probably why I still enjoy working in the space. And it's just that, it like if you hate social media, you're doing it wrong is kind of a thing that I say. And it's just because I mean, are we going to run into crap and whatever? But like, over time you can really curate your experience and you connect with the people and the accounts that contribute something to your life or business or whatever, right? Like, and weed out the crap that doesn't feel good. 'Cause I think that if you look at it from like for you, like seeing that, wow, like, yeah, okay, you were at a game where like thousands and thousands and thousands of people saw you, but then millions could also see you later because we have this opportunity to share. I just think it's honestly magical.
Well, it's so interesting you say that because on a deeper dive level, when I've had these sort of, big hits and big moments, it's like I want to post, and I do sometimes post on specifically LinkedIn and say to people, hey, if you're a brand, watch this video and tell me why it's successful. There's three reasons. I had a data analytics guy look at the three key words, and guess what they were, Brittany? Guess what they were?
What?
Guess what the three key words in the comments were on a video that I had 10 million views? Guess what they were?
Dance, fun, joy. I don't know.
Okay. Fun was one.
Okay.
Energy.
Oh, yes. Love.
So I love the video. I love him. I love whatever it is. Love. Fun, energy, and love were the three most used words in a data guy studied a big post of mine. So if you're a brand and you're watching, like, I understand there's a lot of social causes. I understand there's a lot of important issues. But at the end of the day, what are we resonating with? Why go read these comments on Viola Davis' post? Like, I screen grab a lot of them because it's a reminder to me that what I do lives on, for one, which is a great feeling, because my goal has never been to make $100 million. My goal is to make 100 people smile. And through that, I'm going to get opportunities. And I am, which is trusting it back to that. Wish I knew that when I was 25. But look at the why. Like, I know it's like, look at the why is like so overused, but it's not, it shouldn't be in this case. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why does it matter? Because for that 60 seconds, you're bringing someone joy. And I love what you said. If you don't like social media, you're not using it properly. Right.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you post that to make someone feel alive. And if you can do that, like, you know,
yeah, it's the best. It's the best. You said,
I don't know how much time we have, but I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm not asking for, I'll Venmo you later, but like, you look at my career, what I've done, like, what feedback would you give me on what I'm doing?
Oh my God. I don't give you any, just wonderful feedback. I love what you're doing. I mean, I'm biased because I think we have things in common. So I'm like, hell yeah, that's the way to go. Like, why didn't I think of that shit? Like, I mean, hello.
Don't we all think like that though? Why didn't I think like that? Like, come on, we do, right?
It looks amazing. I remember telling Megan, who works at my company, like, have you seen this dude? Like, how did I not think of this as a job? No offense. I love working with you, but oh my God, this is amazing. But no, in all seriousness, I think that just share, I mean, I like seeing whenever you're sharing your stories too. I mean, obviously sharing your the videos of what you actually did at an event is really, really important. Clearly, you know that. And so you're already doing that. But I like the stories thing because you, on your Instagram stories, at least, you are like giving us a behind the scenes, right? Of like, when you've traveled or something like that. And to me, that just gives a deeper connection with people that are like, I call like people that watch your stories on a regular basis, your VIPs, because they're just like the next level fan, social media fan, you know? And they know more about you than anybody else. And they care probably a little deeper than others. So I like it whenever I see that too with you.
Thank you. I saw someone's post recently. It said, there's a limit to how much boredom we can have. Maybe if we had more soul, you would be more successful on social media. Like, basically, wow. Apply for more soul. So do you think I should push that even more? Do you think I should push the heart more? Do you think people want that on a deeper level?
I think people always want that and need that. I think as humans, we just need that. And there aren't a lot of people in the big picture, as far as percentage wise, that are willing to do that and share in that way. And that's why I always say that those of us that are special, but seriously, we are, but it really is a special thing because, we're willing to stand up and be leaders, right? And be like, I am willing to step forward and share shit that other people probably won't. And it doesn't, we can choose, we can have our privacy, you know, but I think it's just really special because the world needs it and not everybody's going to be willing to share their story and share a behind the scenes look, you know?
Yeah. So last week was the anniversary of my father's passing. And I spent the whole day debating whether or not I had written a proper post. I spent the whole freaking day debating whether or not to post it because it wasn't a sympathy post. It was a celebrate life post. It's been 9 years. Okay. I'm good. But yeah, it was a celebrate life post too. And so I finally was like, okay, like really? So I posted it around the time that it's a longer story, but I ended up performing the night I found out he wasn't going to make it because I was stuck in Minneapolis. And so there's a bit more of a backstory to it and how I was still able to share smiles and how he would be proud. So I post the story. And I can't tell you because I can't actually tell you. I don't know the number, but on Facebook, the number of people who shared their story about their own father without me saying it was like almost could bring me to tears right now because it was like, and I wrote, P.S. This is a celebrate life post. Like, I don't want you to write, oh, so sorry for your loss, Cameron. Sure. Like, that's not why I'm doing it. It's take a moment and celebrate that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it hit people hard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I spent 6 hours debating whether or not to do it.
Right. Well, you gave them, I hate to say permission, an invitation, an opening, you know, a kind of a, you created a space, you facilitated a space for them to share their own stuff.
I love what you just said. Can I stop you?
Yeah.
Oh,
Do what? What'd you
You said
say?
opening.
Yeah.
I think that's such a great word.
Yeah.
Opening. You can open the heart, open their soul, open their spirit, you
Right.
know?
Right. Yeah, and I think that that's just what a lot of people need. There's so many people that want to share more. And it of course on social media, yes, and I talk about that a lot, but like also just in life and want to share, 'cause like if we're not sharing stories and experiences and whatever, then are we like we're not doing the human thing. We got to do that. And the fact that you facilitated a space for them to do that, I mean, you never know who needed that so badly that day. And you never will, probably, you know.
And that's such a huge thing that is important is like I look at my I had a guy helping me a while ago with social media. He's like, oh, your post isn't performing well, you should take it down. And I was like, no, I'm not taking it down because one person might have needed that. That's it. And I have Instagram reels that probably have barely any traction. And I'm like, I'm not keeping them up. They felt I, they made they did something for me, which I hope will do something for you, right? You can't, I believe you can't overthink the numbers. You can't, but you can look at what resonates with people. That's the difference, right? I believe, so it's not always going to be a home run, but I don't think you should always be going for home runs. You should be going for, ways to express yourself more and learn from your post and who you are and what you're willing to put out there. And I know watching what you've done, it's like, I think you could even take it to a whole new level, After you're done on your treadmill, just sit there and I'm just making this up now, but like sit on the actual treadmill and have a coffee and talk about how it felt and share it with someone, I'm serious. Like just go, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. Like,
That's
because people
exciting.
watch me going, getting up at 18 front of 18,000 people. And I don't think they want to actually do that, but they want the energy and the confidence to do whatever it is in their life. And then you give it to people, right? When you're.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you. I'll take
But
the
it's like
tip.
the gym thing. It's like, I don't want to watch anyone work out at the gym, but I want you to inspire me to get my ass to the gym. Watching you do curls is not going to get me there. Telling me how you convinced yourself that day to get there, that's interesting.
You're right. Giving somebody a peek behind the curtain. And speaking of that, I was actually just thinking, you need a like a in my opinion, it like a moment, like if you ever were to come to Houston, I would do this for you. But like somebody to follow the process. I mean, like not to spoil the surprise, you share it later, but like really a like come with me kind of, I call them come with me videos because like those are where he says, come with me as I go and I do, you know, whatever. But anyway, that would be so cool for somebody to be able to document you like prepping, getting
Well,
ready to
I
go
want
take
to
your
tell you
seat.
about my 30th anniversary that we're putting together, and I'm taking some extra time with it because it's a deeper story of the heart behind why. So that's coming out soon.
Oh, good. Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
good
Because,
feedback. Yeah.
yeah, because it's cool. It's just like what you're saying. Like, it's just giving people a look at how you did what you did and what went into it and how you felt and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's very cool. Yeah. That's a way a lot of people can sell stuff without selling. I always tell people, like, you sell without selling, like, even just like a traditional business. Like, if you're like a restaurant, like, show people how you made your like homemade salsa or something rather than being like, come buy our salsa. You know what I mean? Like you just, if you show people a look at that, then they're gonna want to buy your stuff and you didn't have to be like a
I know it's
salesman.
obnoxious, like to say to people, like, hey, like, would you buy this?
When
Like, buy
they, yeah,
it.
like
Like,
buy your book, King of Cheer, like just hold it up there. Please
it's
buy
so obnoxious. Oh, which story do you want me to read?
it. Well, okay, speaking of that though, I do want to talk about your book. How did that go for you, real quick, before we're done? Like, I mean, like,
It's a collection of short stories because I would get on a plane and before like we would have laptops on planes, I would write in my journal and I had all these short stories from oh that time I was in Odessa, Texas, or that time I was in whatever Charlotte, North Carolina, at a women's WNBA game and a woman put money down my pants. Like all these different stories that I knew I'd forget one day, So they were in first they were in journals and then I would write them in my laptop, just short stories, and I ended up just putting a collection of the stories together that there's a narrative and then there's the second half of the book is all just the best stories. Funny, heartfelt, everything in between.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really fun. I don't know what was harder, writing the book or launching it during a pandemic, but hey, I did it.
But hey, it's really inspiring. I started a book like 3.5 years ago, and then it got put on the back burner. So we got to get back on that. But okay, so before I let you go, what final words of wisdom for specifically for someone, because this is just, the kind of person that's probably listening, excuse me, to the show, is somebody who does want to start sharing more. They want to do it. They're doing their thing, they're doing their business, they're doing their cool project, whatever. And they want to share more on social to really amplify things and to help more people. But so the desire is there. We need that. But they're nervous, like it's hard to be vulnerable and put yourself possibly in front of millions of people, like has happened to you. What would you say to that person?
Well, I would say really think about that one person that needs to hear your message or that moment and feel something. Think about them. Because when you're putting it out there, it's no longer about you, right? So it's about, did someone see your video, your message, your post, your picture, and think how they react, how you're going to make their day. And if you start to think that, I mean, that's you'll start doing it more. And then don't, here's the other thing. I've started doing this recently. I will not look at the numbers. Like, you know what I mean? Like you post something, it's like, oh, how many people like I think it's like important in some ways in terms of like I said earlier, like what impacts people. But if you're nervous about doing it, don't look at the numbers. It's just gonna make you don't. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's easy to obsess with it like immediately once something goes up. Like if you want to look at the numbers later on down the line to learn from them or something, then of course. But yeah, like to go back and keep looking at it and like kind of obsessing over it, it feels really stressful, honestly. I mean,
Just not, it's not worth it. You know what I mean? It just creates that it's already like hard for people to put it out there. Right. I mean, I remember hearing, I can't remember who said it, but someone said it years ago, like, you know, if you get 1,000 people looking at your video, that's 1,000 people in a room. Like, you know how we used to have to fly and get on a plane to get 1,000 people in a room? Like, that's pretty good in the big picture of life, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. It's hard to not be tempted to want to have like the biggest numbers on social media and whatnot. I mean, I get it. And when we have the big numbers, we should celebrate them. They're not, we, you know,
Absolutely.
but
Yeah.
it's but yeah, it's when we start getting obsessed with just that and like looking at somebody else's, like they have 10,000 views and I only have 1,000. Like you said, only 1,000, like 1,000 people saw your thing, dude. That's amazing. But
Yeah.
you know.
Celebrate the wins for sure. I think that the fact that you made the post, that you decided to post it, and that people are going to watch it, those are three big wins. If they happen to have the extra magic of like a moment with Malcolm, you know, those are few and far between in our life, and you definitely celebrate those. But yeah, I just think, and ultimately, keep putting yourself out there. That's it. You know what I mean? Like,
Like you said, you never know who's watching, who's reading, who is supporting you, and you never know what it can lead to.
and who needs it?
Exactly. Who needs it? All
Who
right,
needs it?
Cameron, how does everybody find you if they haven't yet? So, like, what do you want them to do? We need to go to the website. We need to get the book. We need to follow you on social. We need to do all the things.
Oh, it's exhausting. Cameron Shears is my, you know, my last name. I changed my name. CameronHughes.tv is my website. Cameron Shears on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. My book is called King of Cheer. And who are you cheering for? I guess that's my last question.
Thank you so
I'm
much for
cheering
being
for Brittany.
here today. I'm cheering for you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's show, y'all. For more information about the podcast, go to socialsunshinepodcast.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn. And subscribe to the Social Sunshine Podcast YouTube channel to watch the video version of each episode. For more information about me, go to brittanycrossin.com and connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. The Social Sunshine Podcast is a Fun Love Media production. Funlovemedia.com. Bye.